Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 is where we will begin tonight. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Those of you, again, that are on social media probably already know this as well. But those of you that aren't, Dr. Ken Hay, founder of the Wilds, passed away yesterday. And he's been in hospice about 2 weeks, so we knew that this was coming. But pray for them as they work through things for them. And incredible impact. I don't even know that we could really measure the impact long range of what that ministry has meant. So pray for them as they do some transition there. I do not know funeral arrangements. I did not see it on the Wild site. Do we do know it? Okay. So Friday night viewing, Saturday at Faith Baptist in Greenville, Taylor's. It's Greenville area, but Taylor's. On Saturday. So you said 11 o'clock. Is that posted on the Wilds Facebook page or there? Okay, it is. Okay. So pray for them as they work through those things. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll speak to you tonight about gratefulness, our next characteristic. Gratefulness. Making known to God and others in what ways they have benefited my life. Making known to God and others in what ways they have benefited my life. A Christian is to be continually thanking God for everything which comes his way. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Obviously, the opposite of gratefulness is unthankfulness. As someone has said, the opposite of gratefulness is greed. It's an interesting thought about that. The dictionary defines gratefulness as appreciation of benefits received. Gratefulness is learning to recognize the benefits which God and others have provided. It's looking for appropriate ways to express genuine appreciation to God and others. It's learning to give all expectations to God. And it's interesting, when I am working through premarital counseling with young couples that are about to get married, I'm doing two currently. Now, one of the things that I say to them is, expectations raise the bar of satisfaction. And if you're not careful, nothing will satisfy you because you continue to raise the bar of satisfaction. So to be careful about that. The Hebrew word means a praise to God. It can be in song, it can be in a choir, it can be in an offering. It also carries the idea of confession with it. We should give thanks because of something, if you will. In the New Testament, the word carries the idea of mindful of favors or being grateful. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 11 says, being enriched in everything into all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. The word grateful is actually not used in the Bible. The word thanks means grateful. Praise and thanksgiving are linked together. Matter of fact, if you praise the Lord, you're probably going to thank him, and vice versa. They're very much crisscrossed, if you will. I like to distinguish them by praise is who God is, thanksgiving is for what he does. But that even intermingles. For instance, you can praise him for being a redeemer, but guess what he does as redeemer? He redeems you. So that those things are intertwined there for sure. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So do you make it a habit to thank God and others for the many little things in life that others tend to take for granted? things that we take for granted all the time. Just thank the Lord for safety here today. Mary Beth has a little different perspective on that now. And sometimes we do go through without really stopping and saying, oh, yeah, that's pretty significant. How many people can you think of offhand who have benefited your life in the past? I hope you can just come up with those that have helped you. How many of these have you personally thanked? Just said, hey, thank you for the investment in whatever. Do you share with others how various ones have helped you in the past? Other people. Do you express sincere appreciation for a gift that you know you cannot use? That one's a tough one, isn't it? Sincere appreciation for a gift you cannot use. That would be about 90% of the gifts that Lisa's grandmother gave me. She was a sweetheart. I kept telling her, Grandmother, I would much rather have all the dollars you spent on those Santa Claus socks because I'm not going to wear them, okay? That's a tough one, I think, sometimes for us to really work through that. Can we be grateful for something that we know we're not going to use, but somebody sacrificed for it in the process? So here's a central truth I'd like for us to see tonight. We must make Thanksgiving a part of our daily lives. Shouldn't just be a once-a-year thing. It ought to be part of our daily lives. So let's learn some things about gratefulness or Thanksgiving tonight. Nothing that you haven't heard before, but some good reminders for us. Number one, gratefulness is a command of God. It's a command of God. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I just wish I knew the will of God. If God would just print it in the sky, I'd do it. How about in a book? That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? This is what he said. This is the will of God. So let me ask you this way. If you're not being thankful, does that mean you're out of the will of God? Yes, it does. Pretty interesting. This giving thanks is a present tense command. It's a present tense imperative. In other words, God says, I want this to be in your life every day, and I'm commanding you to do it. It's not just a suggestion. It's not just a nice thing. It's a command. And it's something that ought to be continuous or repeated action. It's not that I just give thanks one time and that's enough. Well, I thanked my wife for cooking food, and if it ever changes, I'll let her know, right? Well, it's her job, you know. Being thankful. We're to continue to give thanks in every situation, in every circumstance of every day of all of our lives. It says in verse 20 of our text, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That pretty much eliminates any other exceptions, right? In everything, always, all things, that's pretty all-inclusive. A well-known writer said that he was prompted to think of people to which he could show gratitude. So he sat down and wrote a letter to an elderly school teacher that had taken the time to teach him a few of the talents which made him famous. When he wrote her a letter, a few weeks later, he received this reply. "When I read your letter, I was blinded with tears. I taught school for 50 years, and all those years, I poured my life into my students, and I loved it. But yours is the first letter of thanks that I've ever received from a student, and I shall cherish it until I die." Grateful that this was a meaningful thing to her, but what a shame that people can't be more thankful for what God has done. So are you obedient to this command? The more specific question would be, when's the last time you told someone thank you? Specifically, if you have to think really, really hard on that, it's not a good thing, right? It ought to be something that's just a natural part of our life. So, gratefulness is a command from God. But number two, we are ungrateful by nature. We're ungrateful by nature. I want to show you a couple things here. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Again, you know these texts of Scripture. But Romans chapter 1. Verse 20, Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is laying out an argument why everyone in this world is without excuse. He says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse," verse 21, "because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Paul then lays out an argument for reprobation as he works through this text of Scripture. We point to this passage normally as signs of gross immorality and how that eventually a person gets there. But do you see where the Holy Spirit of God starts? They rejected God, and in the process, were unthankful. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy, if you will. 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. Verse 1. He says, This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. If you wondered whether or not we were in the last times, we could stop right there and say, yes, we are. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. If we were to ask ourselves tonight, without thinking about this text of Scripture, if we'd ask ourselves, list some of the most grievous sins that you can think of in our world today, unthankfulness would probably not be on our list. But it's on God's. Right in the middle of all these other things that we would say, oh man. Matter of fact, several of these things on this would be things that we would say, Lord, why is our country in this condition? How could it be this way? I've not even finished the article, but someone brought me an article today about the recent international vote of the United Methodists and their attempt to sanction, if you will, LGBTQRZY, whatever they do there. Do you know why it was defeated? This is an interesting part of the article. It was defeated primarily because of delegates outside the United States, and mostly from Africa, where the African believers still believe in the fundamental Methodists. And they quoted the largest pastor in the Methodist Church in America, and he said, "I can't imagine us staying here long." He said, "We will disobey, we will be unrest, and we ultimately may separate, because it's untenable," or I forget the exact word he used, "to think that the conservatives may be in charge of our denomination." What? It's like, I think this book right here ought to make this pretty clear, right? We would look at those things and think, oh, I can't believe we're dealing with that. But we wouldn't put unthankfulness there. But God does. God does. That's the first sign of moral reprobation, is an unthankful spirit. the unthankful person will become or already is. And God gives us this list. It's all mixed in together. It's a sign of the last times. They're self-centered and selfish. They're covetous or materialistic. They're jealous of others. They're proud. By the way, one way to fight this horrible sin of pride is by continually remembering what others have done for you. 1 Corinthians 4:7, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" If we were saying this today, we could basically sum it up like this. Who do you think you are? God gave you who you are, and your talents and your abilities and your thinking ability and all of that God gave to you. They were blasphemers of God. The ungrateful person views God as a spiritual Santa Claus, if you will, a spiritual automatic money machine where I just punch a code and he gets out, and if he doesn't, I'm going to reject him because he's not what I think he is. Disobedient to parents. Those things we wouldn't think would be on this list. There once was a cranky grandpa who laid down to take a nap. And to have a little fun, his grandson put some Limburger cheese under his mustache. And grandpa woke with a snort and charged out of the bedroom saying, "This room stinks!" He went through the whole house and finally was forced outside only to find that the whole world stinks. You know, if we're ceased to be filled with gratefulness, then this can happen to us. We see everything through those eyes. Matter of fact, I think you could take yourself and look at your ungrateful attitude, and it would probably point a dial to something else in this list in 2 Timothy, which should really shock us. Not at other people's sin, but our own. An ungrateful spirit. Thankfulness is a spiritual prescription. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Is your ungratefulness revealing other areas of sin in your life? In other words, if you're ungrateful, what other sins are happening that you've not consciously put a finger on? And do you realize that your ungratefulness is really against God? That's really who it's against. So it's a command for us to be grateful. We're ungrateful by nature. Your default mode is going to be ungratefulness. Number three, then, we must learn to be grateful. We must learn to be grateful. Why is it that we say to our children, "Say thank you"? Say thank you. I remember one Christmas Eve. Was it Christmas Eve or Christmas? I can't remember. One of those. It was Christmas Eve. One of the little girls in our church, she's no longer real little, but was walking out the door. The Christmas Eve service was done. My wife was walking there, and she said to her, "That is a pretty dress." And her mom said, "Say thank you." And World War III was on, because she wasn't saying thank you. And it was close to an hour. It was more than an hour. We had plans for Christmas Eve, you know. But the parents were like, I really want to win this. I was grateful that they did. Why is it that our flesh fights it so much? Why do we have to train it? But we do. So how do we have a thankful heart? Well, number one, recognize that all good things come from God. James chapter 1 and verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights." The Bible says that everything we have comes from God. Without Him, we would not have anything that we do have. So whatever it is, even if it's quote-unquote insufficient for what you think, it's still from God, and it's a blessing. Do you know that nearly one out of every three people in the world do not get enough food in their lifetime? One out of three. That one out of every five children die before the age of five, and at least half of these deaths are for a lack of food. puts a perspective on it. I can tell you, we try not to waste food in our house. Book of Proverbs has some pretty strong things to say about that. Do you always like to eat the leftovers? Nope. But I'm not going to throw it in the garbage. I don't think it's a good practice for us nor our children, by the way, to have. You've heard this before, I'm sure. Matthew Henry was attacked by robbers one day, robbed of his pocketbook. At first, there was a temptation to be bitter, but then he began to think on how he could apply 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks. He later wrote in his diary that same night this: "Let me be thankful today, first, because I was never robbed before. Second, that although they took my pocketbook, they did not take my life. Third, that although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. And everything give thanks." So we recognize that all things come from God. Number two, learn to express your thankfulness. In our passage in chapter 5 and verse 20, it says that we should give thanks to God for all things in every situation. It ought to just be natural that way. 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you're still in 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications and prayers and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty." You thank the Lord lately for an authority figure? For a president? Or a congressman? Or whatever? Do we always agree with them? Nope. Do you know our two senators just recently co-sponsored a bill to bring the casino to Kings Mountain? Both men claim to be Christians. Do I disagree with them? I'm not sure I could be more in opposition to them than that, you know. But God says we to pray for them and we're to give thanks. It's part of what we do. Look at your Bibles to Psalms 100. Again, you know these verses of Scripture. But Psalms 100, verse 4. The Bible says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." If we just took this right from this text, we could be thankful every day because God is good. We could be thankful every day because his mercy is everlasting. Everlasting. We could be thankful today because truth endureth. It's always been and it always will be. And by the way, those are some tremendous things for us to stake our life to. So learn to express your thankfulness, your gratefulness. I had a pastor friend one time who told the story of one of his sons who tore a hole in his new suit pants the very first day that they were out on a tour with their youth group, and totally ruined. He said, "I asked the Lord for a reason for which to be thankful." He said, "Here's what God gave me. I'm thankful that I have a son. I'm thankful that my son can run and play, even if it is horseplay. I'm thankful that my son tore up his pants on a youth choir tour and not in some bar on a drunken stupor. I'm thankful that it was my son's pants that were torn up and not the cartilage in his knee. I'm thankful that though it cost me some money, God's goodness has enabled me to buy some other pants to replace them." Luke 17 tells of 10 people who had the plague of leprosy. Separated from their family, separated from their friends, lived outside the city alone. Terrible disease. Unclean, unclean. They asked Jesus to have mercy, and Jesus healed all 10 of them. How many turned around to say thanks? One. One. Are you learning gratitude daily? Does your gratitude start in your daily prayer time? God, thank you that I get to be alive today. Thank you that I get to serve you today. Thank you that I have air to breathe today. Thank you that I have, there is so much that we can be grateful for. Can I give you just a few in the last couple of minutes here of some of Jesus' recorded prayers? Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. John 6:11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them. John 11:41 and following. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee. 1 Corinthians 11:23 and following, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said. Our Lord had a habit of praying, and very shortly into that prayer, thanksgiving was a part of it. God gives us everything, and God expects us to be thankful. He expects us to show it. We're not to be unthankful. We're to be thankful. And God wants us to make this an everyday part of our lives. So what are some... We got about 1 minute, maybe two. Don't be thankful for that. I'm just saying. I'm just kidding. Okay. What are some everyday things in which we can express gratitude? What are some everyday things? Dale. Okay. Yeah, so a text message, something that because of the technology, Dale's able to do with that. Wonderful. Something else, everyday thing we can be grateful for, express gratitude. We can pray. You can breathe. Okay, great. Someone else, everyday things. Employment. Salvation. What's that? Pain. You may not think that's something to be thankful for, but it is. Someone else raise their hand here? No? Yes, Colin? A church to go to. Great. Yes, ma'am. Okay, your asthma. Good. What are some areas where we may struggle with gratitude? Okay. When things don't go right, or let's be more specific, when things don't go my way, right? That's right. What else do we struggle with gratefulness about? Flat tire. Yeah. Someone else? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Other people in traffic. Yeah, I'm merging today on 85, and from my house, we have an area where we merge into the left lane. Nobody in the right lane, and the person's not moving. I'm like, anyway, yes, that's a good one that we struggle to be grateful for, right? Someone else, things we struggle with being ungrateful. Okay, order wrong at the restaurant. Yeah, pretty amazing. So practice gratitude. It's something we have to learn. It's something we have to tell ourselves, be thankful for that. We don't have any problem if we have children in our home saying to them, say thank you. Maybe you ought to say it to each other. Maybe not. I don't have that much time for marital counseling right now. But it is good for us to remember. It's good for us to say, hey, I reached in my drawer this morning. There were clean clothes. That didn't just happen. Or food on the table, or whatever. Those are things that we can be grateful for, and that we should be. So, Father, thank you for your word. We love you. In your name we pray.